We're working through a series in the book of Ecclesiastes. Last time we were looking at the seasons of life and just saying we don't know what the wind's going to bring in tomorrow. And that was certainly the case for me, wasn't it? I wasn't expecting to get kidney stones. But God is sufficient and God brings us through that. And we just have to learn to rely on him. You're right there. Is that right? You can calm down now. Okay, so I want to think this morning about justice. So we're in chapter 3 from verse 16. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. I also said to myself, as for humans, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over animals. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from the dust, and to dust all return. Who knows if the spirit, human spirit, rises upward, and if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them? Sorry. Again I looked, and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of the oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead, who had already died, are happier than the living, who are still alive. But better than both is the one who has never been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. Where is justice? It's not fair, cried the child as his brother ate the last piece of cake. Life's not fair, said his mother. You'll soon discover that. Life's not fair. You don't need to teach a child to have a sense of justice, a keen sense of right and wrong, of what's fair and what's not fair. It's kind of inbuilt in us, isn't it? I want to show you a short advert from the 1970s that reminds me of just how unfair life can be.
A penguin. So pick up a penguin. When you feel a little peckish, pick up a penguin.
Do you remember that advert? Pick up a penguin. Okay. Here are our penguins today. What strikes you as being different about penguins today and those in the 1970s? They're a lot smaller, that's for sure, isn't it? It's a bit like a tin of Quality Streets that shrunk and shrunk and shrunk, isn't it? Huh? They're not in black and white. All right. But it's not actually about them being smaller, which is obviously unfair, but the other major difference is the wrapper. It reminds me of a little recurring incident with my brother at my gran's at tea table on a Sunday. My gran used to produce amazing cakes with luminous butter icing. She used so much food colouring, it's amazing that any of us are still here to tell the tale. But alongside the cakes was always a packet of penguin biscuits. And in those days, penguin biscuits came in foil wrappers. Do you remember? And they were blue, red, and green. That was the only colours penguins came in those days. Blue, red, and green. And almost invariably, there was only ever one green penguin in the packet. And my brother and I used to fight over the green penguin. It's not fair. He had the green penguin last week. Now, the biscuit inside the blue penguin and the red penguin is exactly the same as the green one, but somehow the green one always tasted better. The green biscuit took on incredible significance, especially if it meant that if my brother had it, that I couldn't have it. Honestly, where is the justice in the world? Now, that's a stupid example, but the reality is we live in a world where justice doesn't always seem to happen. And Solomon makes that very clear. In fact, he concludes in verse 3 of chapter 4, "But better than both is the one who has never been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun." We sometimes say of people, it would be better for him if he hadn't been born at all, when life is so difficult or so unjust. And in these days, everything is so instant, isn't it? We can be transported by the media or by our mobile phones to all kinds of injustices that are going on across the globe. And we have a front row seat. And it's heartbreaking to watch sometimes how other human beings treat other human beings and how people are suffering. Now, in days gone by, injustice also always went on in the world. But perhaps things went on a bit more behind closed doors, or you wouldn't read about injustices till much later when a newspaper was printed, maybe several weeks or months later, if you heard about injustice at all. The city where I come from in Bristol was built on the slave trade in the 18th century. All its wealth really came from that despicable practice, really. And there was a trade triangle that went on where goods were sold from the UK to Africa, slaves were bought, they were transported to South America and Central America, where they were put to work on slave plantations, and then the raw materials from that were brought to the UK. So the average person in the UK didn't see the slave trade that was happening. All they saw was the materials coming and the riches that flowed. Much went on out of sight and out of mind. But thankfully, there were people who stood up against this injustice. People like William Wilberforce, who advocated for the slaves until finally the slave trade was abolished in 1833. But of course, sadly, we know in the world today that slavery in many forms continues all across the world. And we cry, don't we? Where is the justice? There was a program on the TV recently about the sweatshops in Indonesia producing cheap clothing for our insatiable Western appetites. You know, we go along, I won't name any particular shops, but, you know, we just have so much, and we go next week to buy ourselves a new jumper or a new garment that we don't really need, but we have this appetite for more and more. And that does, in one sense, provide jobs for people in countries like Indonesia that they might not have otherwise had, but it also takes a terrible toll on their lives. And they were showing how the industry pollutes the rivers and how that then affects the lives of the people living in that community. And all just so that we can have cheap clothes. I'll be honest with you, until that program came on, I probably hadn't stopped and thought about that anywhere near enough. And it was very sobering. And we're challenged, aren't we? And we say, where is the justice? And yet, in all of us, there is a deep-seated desire for justice, isn't there? And wanting injustice to stop, people come together as groups, as communities, and sometimes even as a nation to try and bring about what they see as justice. In 1914 to 1918 and 1939 to 45, this nation entered into what it saw as a just war to try and halt evil aggressors, and in Hitler's case, an evil dictator. We can't just stand by. We need to do something to stop this injustice. And on a smaller scale, but no less important, are all kinds of campaigns, aren't there, on issues from animal rights to fair trade to people trafficking. You could go on, you know, I don't have to list to you all the organisations that are fighting for justice. And we may have our own particular causes that we support and we feel passionate about. And that's right. This is also why we have elected officials, a police force, and fines. It's why we have prisons so that the worst offenders are taken off our streets. We want to keep some semblance of order. We have this desire for justice to be done. But unfortunately, as Solomon recognizes, whatever systems and institutions we establish for justice, they prove at times to be failures, don't they? They're only as good as the people who are employed to run them, who after all are flawed human beings like you and I. Yes, sometimes there are good legal systems, good police, good solicitors and barristers, there are honest judges, but other times there are bad cops, bad lawyers, and sadly even sometimes corrupt judges. And this is the reality of life under the sun. There's that phrase again. This is the reality of life in our world, where most people live without reference to God or his word. And in this life, people don't always get their just desserts. People commit crimes and seem to get away with it. And other times there are miscarriages of justice, aren't there, where innocent people are punished unfairly. Justice does not always prevail. It was good to see the Irish bakers get some justice the other day for their stance on refusing to produce a cake supporting gay marriage. I was delighted that something positive had happened, and we feel good, justice has been done. But we don't always feel like that. Sometimes we feel that our institutions let us down. I wonder, do we find ourselves sometimes longing for the day when God holds court? Do we long for the day when God holds court? If there is a God who sees and knows everything and will one day judge justly, and I believe that the Bible is clear that there is, then surely we can relax a little We can, as Solomon says, verse 17, think like this. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. God also tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friend, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Now, at one level, I find that hugely comforting and hugely reassuring that one day people will have to give an account. They will have to give an answer for their actions. And all those things that people think they've got away with will be uncovered and will be dealt with, and that justice will prevail. But at another level, I find this thought deeply disturbing. I find it deeply disturbing because one day all my sins will be exposed. I don't know how you feel about that. But one day all my sins will be exposed. All the things I've ever said or done or thought I got away with unnoticed, everything will be laid bare before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know in myself, I won't have a leg to stand on. I won't be able to fob him off with some excuses. I won't be able to make up any further lies to cover my tracks. It will be there for him to see. And in years gone by, this is actually how most people lived, with a recognition that they would one day have to meet their maker, that they would one day give an account. And this, of course, is the appeal of evolution and atheistic thinking. Oh, that if there is no God, then there is no God to give an account to. But also that kind of thinking is actually quite depressing, because if just like animals, we come from the dust and return to the dust, and there is no day of justice in the world, it's a depressing place to be, isn't it? If there's never going to be proper justice. The people who claim there is no God actually often want to still think that there is a day of accounting coming for the really bad people. For the Adolf Hitlers, or the Jimmy Savills, or to bring it a bit more local, the Steve Wrights, the Suffolk Strangler, surely there must be a day of accounting for them. People don't like the thought that there won't be a day of accounting for them. But if justice in this world is all that there is, and there is no final judgment, then it's a lottery, isn't it? Whether justice is going to prevail or not. But the Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of God's level, which is perfection. We've all fallen short. None of us come up to God's standard. So whilst we're inspecting the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye, we have that great plank in our own eye, don't we? And who can stand before a holy God who cannot tolerate sin, who, because he is just, must deal with sin and punish sin? The reality is that we all deserve his judgment. We all deserve his wrath. We all deserve to be shut out of his glory forever. Romans chapter 2. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself. They do say when you point the finger at someone, you're pointing three back at yourself. Whatever point you judge someone else, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Now there is a remedy for sin, and we'll come to that in a moment. But can we first accept this, that we all actually have a love-hate relationship with justice? We have a love-hate relationship with justice. We want justice for other people, but we don't want it for ourselves. We feel it's unfair, or we got unlucky when we get caught speeding. We're hypocrites when we sin against someone else, because we want from them mercy and forgiveness. But when they sin against us, we want justice and judgment for them. So what is the remedy? Well, of course, this is the message. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. This is the good news. God desires a relationship with sinners like you and me. God so loved this world. God so loved us despite our dreadful sin that he was willing to send a sinless sacrifice, his own perfect, precious Son, Jesus, to take our judgment in our place. That is the substitutionary death of Jesus. Jesus died in my place. So, whilst I'm not particularly looking forward to Judgment Day, I have an advocate. I have one who's going to stand there and say, yes, he's a sinner, Father, but I paid for him. And he is mine. And I'm clothed in his righteousness, the garment of his righteousness. And he will be the same for you if you'll come to him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Says 8-10 says this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. This is what it means to be a Christian. I just want to go through, this is what it means this morning. If you wonder whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, if you wonder if you're heading for an eternity of salvation with God or not, these are the things, these are the vital elements. Number one, accept that I am a sinner. That's where we've got to get to. We've got to come to the point where we own that we deserve God's wrath and judgment upon us. That we deserve to spend an eternity outside of a holy God's presence, which is hell itself. And then secondly, to accept that Jesus died for me. That he came for me. He came for you. He died in your place, to take your judgment upon himself. And you need to own him and say, I need you, Jesus. I need you as my Savior. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And then thirdly, it means to turn from my sin. It doesn't mean just, oh, thank you, Jesus, you died for me. Now I'm just going to carry on like I've always done, because I know your death is sufficient for me. No, if we're truly repentant, we will turn from our sin. And we will seek to live a life that honours God. We won't get it right all the time. Thankfully, his death's sufficient to deal with our sins, past, present, and future. But we will, in our hearts, have that deep desire to live a life that pleases God. And we will have in us, because we've had forgiveness poured into our lives, we will have the ability then to forgive others as they sin against us. And unless we're willing to forgive others, then how can we say that the forgiveness, we've experienced the forgiveness of God? It is an identification that we belong to Jesus, that we start to forgive others, that we see others as just like us, those who have been rebellious against God. That but for the grace of God, we would be spending an eternity in hell as they are at the moment, unless they turn to Jesus. And it gives us a passion then to share the hope that we found in Jesus. How about you? Are you ready? Are you ready for that day of justice when it comes? Are you ready to meet God and to give an account? Because that day is surely coming. That's not fair, you say. You get away with all the sins you've committed in your life, and I get punished with an eternity outside of God's presence. That's not fair. Well, that's the point of my being here this morning. That's the point of me sharing this good news of Jesus with you before it's too late. His death is sufficient for you also. But you must own your sin. You must stop pointing the finger at other people and say, I admit before you, God, that I am a sinner deserving your judgment. And then you must say, Jesus Christ, thank you. You came and you died for me. Will you be my Lord and my Savior? Will you do that before it's too late? Who knows when we will stand before our Maker? I'm sure that chairman of Leicester City taking off in his helicopter last night had no thoughts that that was going to be the time that he would be facing his own eternity. I don't know what tomorrow may bring for you, but I know today is the day of salvation. And you can turn to him today. And you can own his forgiveness. And you can have that release of having your sins dealt with and being set free. Life is not fair, but God is. Where is justice? He is justice. Amen.